Thanks for connecting with Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Coming up next on Pod Topics, you'll hear our next episode of Moving Business Forward, focusing on businesses and organizations in the Chattanooga area. Here's a preview of our conversation with Barry White, the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Tourism Company. As you'll hear, these were some of his observations when we asked Barry to look back at the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Everything at that point was changing, not just day to day, but almost hour by hour, if you recall. Every day there was something new. So we were just kind of responding and listening and providing as much information as we could. And as more started to happen, we were, okay, the state of Tennessee is doing this, federal government's doing this, locally we're doing this. From our partners, I think the main thing was giving them an avenue to learn from each other and to discuss as things started opening back up and how they were doing that, and their requirements, their hours, their capacity, their limitations on the number of people coming in. Some things happened from that, which are still working right now and will be the way that they work in the future.
Welcome back to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics. Thanks for joining us again for our series that is dedicated to sharing perspectives and insights from the leaders and decision makers in the Chattanooga area. As you heard at the top of the podcast, this episode features an in-depth interview with Barry White, the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Tourism Company. As you'll hear, a significant portion of this podcast will highlight how Barry and his team moved their business forward by working with the organization's partners to meet the challenges of adapting to changes presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. Barry will also be talking with us about how the Chattanooga Tourism Company has continued to stay focused on learning and innovating as part of their dedication to the mission of continuing to make Chattanooga a destination city. For this interview, Greg Thompson, the executive producer of Pod Topics, visited the downtown offices of the Chattanooga Tourism Company. Now let's hand it off to Greg for his conversation with Barry White.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be back with you on Moving Business Forward, and Barry White joins us. Barry, first of all, thank you so much for inviting us here to the Chattanooga Tourism Company. If people haven't been here before, you guys have the best view in Chattanooga.
We do. Thanks for coming up here and visiting, and glad to be part of the show. Great view, 18th floor. You can see 360 degrees around every direction here around the city.
As we sit up here, and we've walked around, and we've been able to look out the windows, to me, it's got to be very inspiring for you as you're leading this organization that's focused on tourism, that's focused on Chattanooga, looking out each day. What can you tell us about that?
It is. Again, we can see a good part of the assets that we promote every day here in Chattanooga. So you got Lookout Mountain, you got Signal Mountain, Walden Ridge, you got all the way over to Missionary Ridge. We can't quite see to Soddy Daisy out in that area, but we get a great perspective up here of the community that we have the privilege of promoting.
I want to start with, tell us a little bit about yourself, when you came to Chattanooga, and how you came to Chattanooga Tourism Company, and then we'll get into the particulars of Chattanooga Tourism Company.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a Tennessean through and through, I think fourth generation from Northeast Tennessee up around the Kingsport area. Went to school in Knoxville, go Vols. I worked at the World's Fair in 1982 in Knoxville and fell in love with kind of this side of the business and tourism in general. Spent a few years down in Augusta, Georgia, working down there for a while, and then came up to Chattanooga about 4 years ago and absolutely love it. Fantastic. Great to be back in Tennessee. Chattanooga is just such a great place. I mean, it's really the people and the attitude of the people that are here. All the legacy attractions we have with Rock City, Ruby Falls, and others, and the newer attractions. Just a great community spirit here and great product that we have to promote.
Well, when you were an outsider, you're in Knoxville and you're around it, you're in Augusta, you're close. What impressed you about Chattanooga? What called you to be here?
I've always kind of followed cities that have been successful in tourism, and obviously, especially in Tennessee, just being home, my home state. And I remember when the aquarium opened, and I looked at it and said, wow, they're calling that the Tennessee Aquarium. It's not the Chattanooga Aquarium. Putting their stake in the ground on that one. So that's big and bold, and I like it. It served this community well and the state. But just kind of looking, I mean, I remember coming up and being impressed by the electric shuttles and this and that. They had some great foundations to build on, and the community is just renowned throughout the U.S. for the transition that it went through, which really speaks to the spirit of this community and the people. That's reflective. I think our visitors recognize that when they come here, and just the experience, anybody from a bartender or server at a restaurant to the mayor, everybody's got a sense of pride.
It's a place where you can feel like you can connect to it, right?
Absolutely. You're part of it. When I moved here, every single person that I met before I got here and after I got here, it didn't matter if they were second generation native, you're going to love this place. I left once, or I came back, never leaving again, or whatever their story was. And it could be somebody that was just here for a couple of years and said, yeah, I moved here, drew me in, and we love it. There was not one single negative comment made by anybody I spoke to that lived here. And that's not common, really. We take it for granted maybe here sometimes, but it is something special in this community.
Well, you're talking about a quality of life, and then when you look at that and you look at what you guys do in terms of promoting tourism, growing, inviting people in, if you have a community that has a high quality of life and you have a place that you can connect to, that is a great base from which you can work from. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Again, we kind of say that people travel to experience the culture of a place. And there are different reasons that cause that travel, but they really want to get a feel of the place they're in. And it happens right here in Chattanooga all the time. And again, it's the people, it's the activities that we have outside, inside. It's just a great package. We think that we do a great job as a community of sharing that culture that we have here.
Well, let's dive in. When you hear the Chattanooga Tourism Company, we see the attractions. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys do as an organization.
Right. So really our key mission is to bring more people to this community. And we do it in different ways. It can be a leisure traveler, so it can be a couple that comes in for a weekend or a family that comes up to see the sights. It can be a sporting event or a meeting or a convention, so large groups. And it can also be business travel. Again, we're just trying to bring people here. And then when they're here, we want to connect to them with those experiences that they can only get in Chattanooga. So we want to ensure that they have a positive experience, and then they can go out and become ambassadors for our community too. When they say, oh, if you haven't been to Chattanooga, you need to go see this, you need to see that. So that's it, is really just driving people to the community to visit and again, enjoy our way of life.
As somebody who has been in this business, as you said, you started in 1982.
A little while ago.
Seems like it was yesterday, but what drew you to want to be in this business in which you're working with people, driving folks to attractions, creating experiences?
Yeah, really, I was inspired by my childhood and my parents, and they loved to travel. So I just grew up traveling. I think I'd been to every state east of the Mississippi before I was 13 years old or something like that. But we just went out and explored all the time. And then later in life, I got to travel internationally and do some other things. I knew that when I graduated, I didn't know what I was going to do out of UT, but I just thought one of the top three things I wanted to do is be involved in the travel industry in some form or fashion. I'd already worked, like I said, at the World's Fair and kind of in that food and beverage sector and restaurant. And I just love serving people, and I love to see people have a good time. So that's really what drove my passion to get into this industry. I did not even know what a convention and visitors bureau was or an organization like this was. When I learned about it, I thought, that's probably the place I need to be. And I started, and yeah, here we are a couple decades later.
When I hear that, and I'm thinking about all the experiences that you've had, how does that color or inspire what you're doing now? Because we are a product of our experiences.
Right.
So how have you brought that into what you're doing here in leading the Chattanooga Tourism Company?
Probably some of the greatest satisfaction I have is when we work with a major event, like a sporting event, or maybe it's a big festival or a convention or a meeting, and you walk in and you see the servers at the convention center or a server in a restaurant or a bellman, and there's a line of cars to get into the hotel. Because of what our team did here, because we have to go out and recruit those events and recruit those businesses, that bellman's not going to know, that server's not going to know, but that's core of the reason we're in this business, is to support jobs, to support our local economy, to put people to work, to help other people make money, if you will. It's just a feeling, an internal feeling that you get that you're making a difference in a community and in people's lives.
What you shared here is a great vision, particularly in normal times. Everything's working well. We're still sitting here in the midst of the COVID age, if you will. There was a little bit of a respite. Now we're talking about Omicron. So there's been a lot of challenges over the last couple of years. Everything's clipping along great here 2 years ago in January, and we're here recording this early January. 2 years ago, we started to hear about this virus that was coming into Washington State. Nobody knew what it was going to do. Now we've seen a major impact from it. So how did you guys deal with the pandemic? Because when you're talking about tourism, you're talking about getting people in person, doing events, all the things that we're collecting socially, which is not going to help calm the pandemic down. This is, of course, pre-vaccination, but even now in these days, there are challenges. So talk to us about how your group worked through the pandemic.
Certainly. Kind of just give it some perspective. The travel and tourism industry consists of several different sectors. And when we think about those sectors and the toll that the pandemic has taken, the lodging industry, the dining industry, the airline and travel industry, entertainment, and in retail, those are the big sectors. That's where people spend their money when they travel. Every single one of those was hit tremendously hard. Retail shifted a little bit, but when travel shut down, I mean, it was overall the hardest hit industry around the world, and not just here, but everywhere during the pandemic. I can tell you, I remember 2 years ago, later in that year, but still in the winter, the very first cancellation we got for a convention or meeting, a call that came in and said, we're going to cancel our meeting for the one that's supposed to take place in July. Somebody came running down and said, we just got our first cancellation. And I just said, oh, the gates are going to open. Mm-hmm. And it did. And then the next 2 to 3 weeks, that's what we did, was fielded communications with our partners and every event that we had scheduled for that year. That was a big turning point for us.
I would think that would be a time where, if I were in your position, that I would almost think about pushing the panic button. Like, what are we going to do? Yeah. So let me ask you this. You're starting to hear this, and it made sense. Let's not gather in groups. That's a smart thing. But for you and for your group and for all of your partners, this is your livelihood. So what do you do?
Yeah, we work with more than 300 events per year. So it was not a small thing. And then I remember we're shutting down. So then there goes all your just leisure visitors, travel. I remember coming in and saying, we're going home. It was a challenge because we stopped all of our marketing, all of our advertising, everything internally. And we team got together and said, okay, how do we serve? One of our customers' clients is our local residents, the community that's in dining and lodging and entertainment. How do we serve them and help them navigate this? We just became a resource. We get a lot of information, a lot of data out of the U.S. Travel Association and other places that we have information. And really, we set up daily calls. I remember saying, we need a platform to use. I said, I did this Zoom thing once. So we bought a couple of licenses. And
as did most businesses around the country.
Right. So little did I know we would get to know it so well. But yeah, we set up different calls. We did attractions one day. The next day we'd do restaurants. Next day we'd do hotels and so on. We were doing at least 4 calls a week regularly and just having conversation and dialogue and how are we going to get through this.
You're listening to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Let's take you back to our conversation with Barry White, the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Tourism Company.
Can you talk generally about how those conversations went? Because everybody's looking at each other and going, what do we do? There were a lot of businesses that didn't make it in the service industry. So talk to us about those conversations. What were you guys looking at? How did you help people see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will?
Initially, it was just hearing from them and giving them a platform to talk and learn what their challenges were. Again, we shared some information and data, and then it wasn't too soon after that that we started seeing some funds that were going to become available from
PPP.
And how do you get masks? And how do you, I mean, it was, you remember, it was just very pretty basic that we would see now, but where do you get these things? How do you do this?
How do you reinvent yourself, basically?
So it was really just getting that communication out there. It's like, okay, the state's going to buy some masks, and we're going to piggyback on that, and do we have that? Do you need that? How can we help facilitate that? Everything at that point was changing, not just day to day, but almost hour by hour, if you recall. Every day there was something new. So we were just kind of responding and listening and providing as much information as we could. And as more started to happen, we were, okay, the state of Tennessee is doing this, federal government's doing this, locally we're doing this. We had sat on the mayor's task force and a big decision there to do the mask mandate, those types of things. What does that mean? As we went on, I guess specifics, there were things like the drinks that you could pick up at a restaurant and take home. When they decided they could open back up, how are they operating? What are they doing? And you're speaking with the restaurateur and we're on our call. And they're like, our chef's not real happy because a lot of it's about presentation, and now they're putting it in a box and shipping it out the door. Somebody said, you need to stop. Have you done the to-go drink yet? And I said, no. And I said,
you think that alcohol would sell pretty well during these times. But
absolutely. I'd learned that a long time ago. When things are bad, people drink more. And that proved true during this pandemic. So I stopped at a restaurant, and I said, I got my little thing of food that's required, and I ordered a drink, and they gave it to me. It was in a styrofoam cup.
Yeah.
With a plastic lid and a straw.
That's
and
right.
I got in my car and stuck it in my cup holder and I looked at it and said, this is crazy.
So you guys are having all these conversations. You're having these meetings that you never planned to have.
Right.
You're asking your staff to do things that they've never done. And you're asking your partners. So I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your partners and your staff and what they did during this time and what they've continued to do to move things forward.
Great, great question. I was not a fan of remote work. I'd had a couple of satellite offices in Atlanta one time and dipped my toe in it over the years. And I also did not trust myself to work remotely because I just get distracted sometimes and had to study in the cubicle at the library. I couldn't study in my dorm room. Everybody adapted. And the amount of work and support that we provided and that everybody stepped in and we were doing the remote work was just tremendous from our team and the creativity that came through. Very, very impressive. From our partners, again, I think the main thing was giving them an avenue to learn from each other and to discuss as things started opening back up and how they were doing that, and their requirements, their hours, their capacity, their limitations on the number of people coming in. Some things happened from that which are still working right now and will be the way that they work in the future. One example is Rock City Ruby Falls Aquarium. They're opening and they're like, well, how are you doing that? Well, I think we're going to go to timed entries. You can make your reservation online and show up and we can control the crowds. And you think about a place like Ruby Falls where you're taking people down into it.
Yeah, you're in an enclosed space.
Elevator and then you're in a cave.
That's right.
And how do you do that? And what's the safe numbers to use for that? So they're all, again, just a platform for them to speak because they're not seeing each other in person. And to learn and to work together. So the community just really came together.
And that's an interesting thing because these are attractions and the thought being is that you want people to come here for days and experience each one of them, but they are in a sense competitors too. Right. So the idea of everybody kind of working together to lift each other up and being a community, again, speaks what we were talking about earlier about this being a place where you're connected and you feel a sense of community. That had to kind of shine through in those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And restaurateurs and hotels. And that's what they were doing. They were working together and sharing with each other what was working. About 3 months after I got here, I decided to go to Ruby Falls and take my daughter up there and kind of do the thing. We got up there and I thought, well, this is not going to be busy today. This was pre-pandemic. And we got up there and it said, well, we're about a four-hour wait to get through the falls. The visitor center was just crowded, it was packed. Great to see, right? In this industry, it's like, great to see all the people there. Internationally, you can hear all types of languages. But they went to a timed entry. And when I went back post-pandemic, that's the vision I had in my head. I had family coming in from out of town. We made our reservation. We went up there, so we need to get there a little early. It's probably going to be crowded. You walk in, and you can walk through the gift shop. There are people there. Timed entries. People show up when they need to. It was not that crowded. And they're going to keep that timed entry thing. And so is Rock City. And it really helps is it did not hurt their bottom line. It has improved the visitor experience and the guest experience tremendously because they're not having a four-hour wait. They're not crammed into a visitor center or a gift shop. It's just a better experience all the way around. It's really neat to see those types of things that are going to be lasting positive effects on our guests and on our partners in attraction.
And those are things that, again, this pandemic has been a horrible thing. We've had hundreds of thousands of people die. We've had untold losses in the economy and all of that. But when you look at some of the innovations that have come out of it, like what you were just talking about, they may not have realized that had this not happened.
They never would have gone to, I don't think, at least not any time to consider a timed entry. That's a major operational shift for them. Mm-hmm. And they would still be doing it the same way they were doing it. Without the pandemic, we'd be still doing that today. Just show up and wait your 4 hours and do your thing.
You mentioned your team and you mentioned working remotely. Again, your experience with it and most people's experience with it, I know in places that I used to work, they were like, no, you can't do that because you're going to turn the TV on, you're going to get there. You know? And my experience from working at home is like, I don't know when to stop. Can you talk a little bit about your team, the adjustments that you guys have had to make and what you guys have learned about each other and how you've moved things forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, when we were 100% remote and we were remote for quite a while, we would have those virtual happy hour on Zoom or virtual get together and all those types of things. Just trying to keep the culture, keep some type of culture with the team. So just got creative with that. But again, I surprised myself with my ability to learn how to operate working at home and not be distracted and mm-hmm. make my little place and close the door. And so I had my work separated from home, and everybody else was the same. Again, just responded tremendously. It's also now not a surprise to anybody, but it's changed the workforce going forward as well. And the ability and the confidence to now I have the confidence to know that they can work remotely and still be productive. That's what's happening as we're looking and recruiting new team members here. People expect kind of like that and expect to have some flexibility with it and to know that it works. That adds, again, to people's lifestyle, to people's ability to sit there and have lunch with your spouse or your child if they're at home, and it saves 40-minute round-trip drive to the office occasionally. And so it has really surprised me. I'm a changed man.
Going back for a moment and thinking about at the beginning of the pandemic, did you have any doubts like this whole thing could just fall apart? Because if we're going total shutdown, we don't know what tomorrow is or the next week and all that. Right. It's possible that all of this could have just fallen apart. Did you ever have a moment like that to think about that?
Absolutely. We talked about hotels shutting down. We're a nonprofit. The majority of our funding comes from a tax on hotel rooms, and this is typical across the country and across the world. It funds our organizations. We're like, okay, how long is this shutdown going to last? What level of staffing? I hate even talking about what we dealt with, because the hotels were in the restaurants and everybody, they were just shut down.
You're talking about massive layoffs, people that some didn't come back, they came back in a different form. You talk about adjustments, and we've talked about that a little bit, but thinking about all of the attractions that are here and the responsibility that you have, and that Chattanooga is the tourism city and it's a destination place. It's been that for many years, and the work that you guys have done has certainly heightened that. And then to see that all melt down.
The front line is really where battle was. We lost over, I think, 10,000 jobs in the hospitality industry almost immediately. 30,000 jobs, it hit hard. And again, so for me to talk about our challenges, but we did have to think about how long will we be able to maintain, even without the marketing and advertising, basically working off of a small fraction of what we would normally get on a monthly basis.
I appreciate the fact that you're talking about globally here within the community about all of the impact, and to put some numbers around that, and those are human beings and those are lives. It wasn't just your group. You were feeling it for the entire area.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. We felt for them. They were having to make some difficult decisions affecting people's lives, obviously.
Last year, there's been a recovery of sorts. Talk to us about that and where we are today.
Yeah, now we're talking about the good stuff. It's been fun. Again, you look at Chattanooga's product and the outdoors, outdoor recreation, from mountain climbing trails, cycling, whatever it is, just a group of great outdoor assets. And what we learned was there was all this talk about when things reopen, there's going to be some pent-up demand, that people are gonna wanna travel. And that's what we were hoping, and we were looking. And it proved to be true beyond our expectation. People wanted to travel. They wanted to get out, and fortunately, when they traveled, they wanted to spend some money. Along with the outdoor activities and assets that we have, also being a drive market primarily for visitors, so people within 2 to 3 hour drive and being and having markets like Nashville, Huntsville, Birmingham, and Atlanta. And one, we were a pretty familiar destination for them. And two, we had some good activities to do outside. We also had, again, attractions that were open and had timed entries, had that figured out. So it took a little while. We budgeted based on what hotel revenue and things should be. It exceeded our expectations, and I'm conservative in that aspect of trying to budget realistically, but it exceeded our expectations. We look at this past year, it's been tremendous. And in the state of Tennessee, just to give you an idea, Nashville and Memphis were hit tremendously hard. Nashville, big convention city, group market, conventions and whatnot, has been slower to come back. They were hit tremendously hard. As we came out of it, the best performing area in the state of Tennessee was, and still is, Sevier County.
Which has got Dollywood, of course.
Which has got Dollywood, outdoors. And when the thing that shocked me was people were really looking for those private home rentals, Airbnb or whatever. Mm-hmm. They felt safer in Airbnbs instead of having to go into a hotel lobby and get on the elevator and that type of thing. Tremendous growth. Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, those areas are set up ideally for that. And they have really excelled. behind them, we were kind of the second best record tourism estate and outpaced the return faster than Nashville, Memphis.
That had to be very gratifying to know that there is always a competition in the state, but to know that the systems that you've set up, adaptations that were made, encouraged people to say, hey, I can do this and I want to come out and I can have a good experience. Yeah. I can minimize my risk and get out of the house.
Yes, we increased our marketing. We did have a few federal dollars that came through the state 13 months ago, at the end of last year, the previous year. We were able to increase our marketing and promotions, and the state was also out doing some marketing promotion and reaching into some new markets that were farther out. Again, our sweet spot was 2.5-3 hour drive, and we went beyond that with some marketing. The state layered it on. As a result, this year we saw a 25% increase in people who drive more than 3 hours to visit Chattanooga. A 25% increase. They may not wanted to get on a plane, willing to drive that extra hour or two to get here. Mm-hmm. A lot of things kind of fell in line for us, and we're not out of the weeds yet. I mean, we're still down on some of our hospitality employment. Labor's a challenge everywhere. But yeah, I think we are extremely fortunate. I give credit to the creativity of the attractions, the resilience of the hoteliers and the restaurants. Again, what we talked about at the very beginning, the spirit of this community combined with the assets we have, it really was the perfect recipe for better than anticipated growth over the past year.
It's difficult in these times to have a crystal ball, and because we don't know what's going to happen next week or tomorrow, and with COVID morphing left and right, we just don't know. But in my sense about it, there is a new normal, if you will. There's people that will do what they need to do to get out and to move things forward. So how do you guys see the next couple, 3 years?
It's interesting that we talked about during the shutdown and immediately following that it changed from day to day. The uncertainty, you didn't know what you're going to get that day. So the uncertainty is still there to some extent, but it's not a daily or a weekly uncertainty. It's really kind of getting down to the months where you don't know when the next wave's going to come out or what's happening around the world that can affect air travel and those types of things. It's cooled off a little bit, but the uncertainty is still there. And that's the part that you just got to be nimble and to be able to respond to and monitor. And we want to make sure we always had a safe message going out, a safety message when we were marketing and letting people know that that was the most importance to our guests and our residents. I think that uncertainty is going to be with us for another year or two. Hopefully it'll just continue less and less, and eventually we'll find the spot where we're kind of back at a place where it's more predictable.
Do you feel like the experiences of the last couple of years have prepared you and your partners for whatever's next?
I do, yeah, absolutely. When a wave comes, they now know, at least in respect to COVID, what needs to be done and safety measures that need to take place. We saw a sign on a local business or two that the Omicron variant has gotten some of their staff and they had to close for a couple of days to get back up. So that's the worst, actually, I've seen with this variant since the economy opened back up post-COVID. Again, they responded quickly. I think people understand it. We hate to see doors on a restaurant close for even one day, but it's become, we've overused the word, new normal, that people are accustomed now to kind of not being surprised if somebody says, hey, better for everybody, we shut the door right now.
What's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job, I guess, is it's an honor. It's a privilege for me to represent a community, our organization, to represent a community like Chattanooga. It really is special, and I encourage people to travel. I encourage people to travel internationally to give them perspective on what's out there in the world. And I think it helps give an appreciation for the place they call home, not just in Chattanooga, but everywhere. We have a tremendous team here. The best part is really just seeing, and I noticed it immediately, is we work with a lot of different partners. We've talked about a lot of them, but we also work with the cities and the county and some of their teams and the police departments and sheriff's departments for large events. It's just that attitude, the positive attitude, the ability to say, okay, we can figure this out. We can get this done. Well, here's how we'll do it. That makes the job so much fun to know that people value the industry here. They recognize what it means to the economy. It's a true pleasure to be here and represent this community to the world.
That's Barry White with his closing thoughts on this edition of the Moving Business Forward podcast from Pod Topics. As we shared with you earlier in the podcast, Barry is the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Tourism Company. We'd like to thank Barry for sharing his time and perspectives with us. If you would like to learn more about the Chattanooga Tourism Company and the work that it does, we'd like to invite you to visit the organization's website, visitchattanooga.com. That web address again is visitchattanooga.com. Thanks for listening to Moving Business Forward, a podcast produced by Pod Topics, which is dedicated to bringing you insights and perspectives from the Chattanooga area business leaders. Be sure to check podtopics.com for new episodes of the series. We'd also like to invite you to subscribe to Moving Business Forward on your favorite podcast platform. You can find Moving Business Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio Podcast, and all other major podcast services. By becoming a subscriber, you'll be notified whenever we post a new episode. And on some of those platforms, you'll also have the opportunity to rate our podcast. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information.